73. Sebastian sat on the day couch in the master cabin of HMS Renounce. He sagged against the armrest and fought off the grey waves of exhaustion that washed over his mind. He had not slept in 30 hours. After his escape from Blucher, there had been the long launch journey upriver, during which he had remained awake and jittery with the after-effects of tension. After disembarking, he had sneaked out of Fleischer's camp, avoiding the Ashkari guards, and trotted through the moonlight to meet Flynn and Rosa. A hurried meal, and all three of them had mounted on bicycles, supplied with the complements of the Royal Navy, and ridden all night along a rough elephant path to where they had left a canoe hidden among the reeds on the bank of one of the Rufiji tributaries. In the dawn, they had paddled out of one of the unguarded channels of the delta and made their rendezvous with the little whaler from HMS Renounce. 2 long days of activity without rest, and Sebastian was groggy. Rosa sat beside him on the couch. She leaned across and touched his arm, her eyes dark with concern. Neither of them was taking any part in the conference, in which the other persons in the crowded cabin were deeply involved. Joyce sat as chairman, and beside him an older, heavier man with bushy grey eyebrows and a truculent jaw, hair brushed in streaks across his pate in an ineffectual attempt to conceal his baldness. This was Armstrong, captain of HMS Pegasus, the other cruiser of the blockade squadron.
"Well, it looks as though Blucher has made good her damage, then. If she had fired her boilers, we can expect her to break out any day now. Von Kleiner would not burn up good fuel to keep his stokers warm."
He said it with relish, a fighting man anticipating a good, hard fight.
"There's a message I'd like to give her from Bloodhound and Orion, an old account to settle."
But Joyce also had a message, one that had its origin at the desk of Admiral Sir Percy Howe, Commander-in-Chief, South Atlantic and Indian Oceans. In part, the message read, "The safety of your squadron considered secondary to containing Blucher. Risk involved in delaying until Blucher leaves the Delta before engaging her is too high. Absolutely imperative that she be either destroyed or blocked at her present anchorage. Consequences of Blucher running blockade and attacking the troop convoy conveying landing forces to invasion of Tanga will be catastrophic. Efforts being made to send you 2 tramp steamers to act as block ships, but failing their arrival and failing also effective offensive action against Blucher before the 30th of July 1915, you are hereby ordered to scuttle Renounce and Pegasus in the channel of the Rufiji to block Blucher's exit." It was a command that left Captain Arthur Joyce sick with dread. To scuttle his splendid ships, a thought as repulsive and loathsome as that of incest, of patricide, of human sacrifice. Today was the 26th of July. He had 4 days in which to find an alternative before the order became effective.
"She'll come out at night, of course. Bound to."
Armstrong's voice was thick with battle lust.
"This time she'll not have an old girl and a baby like Orion and Bloodhound to deal with."
His tone changed slightly.
"We'll have to look lively. New moon in 3 days, so Blucher will have dark nights. And there could be a change in the weather."
Armstrong was looking a little worried now.
"We'll have to tighten up."
"Read this," said Joyce, and passed the flimsy to Armstrong. He read it.
"My God!" he gasped. "Scuttle? Oh, my God!"
"There are 2 channels that Blucher could use," Joyce spoke softly. "We would have to block both of them, Renounce and Pegasus."
"Jesus God!" swore Armstrong in horror. "There must be another way."
"I think there is," said Joyce, and looked across at Sebastian. "Mr. Oldsmith, He spoke gently. "Would it be possible for you to get on board the German cruiser once again?" There were tiny lumps of yellow mucus in the corner of Sebastian's bloodshot eyes, but the stain that darkened his skin concealed the rings of fatigue under him. "I'd rather not, old chap." He ran his hand thoughtfully over his shaven scalp, and the stubble of new hair rasped under his fingers. "It was one of the most unpleasant hours of my life." "Quite," said Captain Joyce, "quite so. I wouldn't have asked you had I not considered it to be of prime importance." Joyce paused and pursed his lips to whistle softly the first bar of Chopin's Funeral March, and then he sighed and shook his head. "If I were to tell you that you alone have it in your power to save both the cruisers of this squadron from destruction, and to protect the lives of 15,000 British soldiers and seamen, how would you answer them?" Glumly, Sebastian sagged back against the couch and closed his eyes. "Can I have a few hours' sleep first?"